Would you turn your Bible to Luke chapter 7, please? What we've been doing is putting all four Gospels together in chronological order. And we've been going through from the beginning of the birth of Jesus all the way through. We finished the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Now we are in chapter 7 of the book of Luke. Unlike the unbelievers who place their hope in the material things and other people's kindness or the circumstances, we born-again Christians can have always have hope in God. In spite of this important principle, we often think that we can only enjoy the presence of God and His security and hope in our life as long as the things goes in our way. You know, but when the heaviness settles in our soul due to difficulties, and we have a tendency to forget everything about what the Lord taught us through the Bible. And we often panic, don't we? Doubt started settling down in our heart and dragging us down. Hope seemed to fade away, and we go down in spiral case. We sink into an abyss of uncertainty and confusion. Darkness engulfs us. We feel terribly alone. What caused this crazy bewilderment? What makes us question the love of God for us? Have you been there? Yeah, we've been there. If you haven't been there, guess what? I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. You will get there. Let's consider a few of the heaviest sources of doubt. Question number one. How can God be in control when evil seemed out of control? If you think the evil is not out of control, just pick up the newspaper or watch 6 o'clock news. In Baghdad, there was a car bomb and killed 105 people overnight. When the hardship lacked reason or the calamity defied justification, we tend to doubt God's divine purpose in our lives. Second question we often ask, does God care about our prayers? Especially when our prayers are unanswered. It seems like our answer doesn't go any further than ceiling. As a matter of fact, it seems bouncing off the ceiling. We pray for what we know that it is God's will according to the scripture, and still there's a deafening silence from heaven. Then what? We panic. We wonder. We are confused. Third question, God fair. Unfair treatment troubles us. We do everything we can trying to live the holy life, and we get treated bad. And you wonder, why God? Before you demand that answer, if you think I'm in a bad situation, how about those who suffer, literally suffer for Christ, for their faith? More people have been killed for their what they believe, their faith in Jesus Christ, than any other time. Questions like this can hurt our spirit if we let them. Did you get that? If we let. Some of us try to come to church, but worship seems miles away. Sermon seems like a foreign to you. And fellowship is nothing more than hi, bye, and you go home in isolation and wondering if anyone cares. Yes, God cares. Yes, our God, Jesus Christ, put an unquenchable fire and light of hope in our hearts. As we turn to Him and focus on Him, we are going to encounter four groups of people who need the hope. First group, the one who had a great faith. Second group, who had no faith. Third group, who had once faith. And the fourth group, no faith, and they just simply reject Jesus. I believe that, I'm persuaded that God has, our Lord has a great lesson for us to take heed. Let Him. So let's stop and pray. Father, someone who is wise said, man can live without food, man can live without water for 4 days, but man cannot live without hope. When all the hope seemed perished, when all our hope is dashed to the place where we cannot find anything, Father, we are lost. But we know that we who are born again Christian, our hope is not in the material things. Our hope is not on other people's kindness. Our hope is not on the circumstance, but hope is in the rock. Father, let us look unto you through your word, that we may always cling unto you, the Messiah. Speak to our heart. Anoint our heart to hear what you have for us. And anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sin, that we may know your Father, praying for the President Obama and all the officials who are over us, whatever it takes, for, and praying for the election. We also pray for our troops, law enforcement personnel, and who always risk their lives, and especially lifting up the ones in the foreign soil, in the harm's way. Father, we ask you to put the hedge of protection around. Verse 1 of chapter 7 in the book of Luke, please. Now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. Note that word, Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, in saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For also I also am a man placed under authority, having soldier under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. Verse 10, and those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well, he had, stop there please. He was the Roman centurion, the commander of the 100 soldiers, the backbone of the Roman army. His slave could have been like a father to him, or maybe brother to him. This kind-hearted soldier could not just sit around and watch him, this man, die. What could he do? He felt helpless. In his desperation, he requests the elders of the Jews to go to this miracle worker, Jewish rabbi from the region of Galilee, and he reached out to Jesus with great faith, because Jesus says he had a great faith. We don't need to have a centurion's concern today. We don't need to send a representative of Jesus Christ. We can come to him ourselves. We don't need a pastor or priest to pray for us. Some of you think that, well, if we have the pastor to pray for us, maybe God will listen to him better than our prayer. Wrong answer. I don't have that one of those red phone prayer line thingy. I pick up the phone and God says, oh, Juno is calling me. I better listen. No, he doesn't do that. Probably he said, oh, him again? You have access just like me because you are a child. If you are born again Christian, you are a child of God. You have a direct line to him. We are impressed not only this man's great love, but also his great humility. Imagine a Roman soldier telling poor Jewish rabbi that he is unworthy to have him enter to his house. Please note that the Romans are known for their humility, especially before the Jewish subject. They are Jewish subject in one of the colonies. But the characteristic that most impressed Jesus was his great humility. Twice in the gospel, we are told that Jesus marveled at someone's faith. Here in the Capernaum, he marveled at the faith of a Gentile. In Nazareth, he marveled at the unbelief of the Jews in Mark chapter 6. The only other person Jesus commended for having great faith was a Gentile woman whose daughter he delivered from the demon in Matthew chapter 15:28. In other words, the Gentiles had more faith in Jesus Christ than Jewish. One thing we should not forget here is this. In response to the centurion's initial request, what did Jesus do? He just simply left, heading toward the centurion's home. Since this being an emergency, could he not just say, okay, you servant, you're healed? He's God. He can make that happen. With a word, he created heaven and earth. He didn't make, okay, I didn't do right. All right, let me try again. He didn't do that. Just simply the word, let there be light, and there was a light. Why didn't he do it right there, right then? Here it is. When it comes to our growth process, the Lord is never in. Say with me. The Lord is never in a hurry. Say one more time, you mean it. The Lord is never in a hurry. You see, we focus on the present need right now. Our God sees the bigger picture. He is more interested in helping us grow through our problems than fixing them right away for us. By waiting, did you get that? By waiting, Jesus allowed the centurion's budding faith to full blossom. The favorite verse of mine is Isaiah 43. And it starts with, they that wait upon the Lord, it says, shall renew the strength, mount up the wings like an eagle. The key portion of that verse is not all the other things, but the first few words. They that wait upon the Lord. Our generation is an instant generation. Everything has to be right now. There is no such a thing as... That's why... Let me put it this way. 6 o'clock news, just look at it. Watch how it goes. Ankle man or woman, they have to look at this camera. Within 5 seconds later, they have to turn this way to another camera, constantly changing. Because you know why? Because our attention span is about a year long. It's getting shorter and shorter. And God is trying to stretch that. You wait. While you wait, you trust me. So God gave a hope of God, and Jesus gave a hope of God to the house of the centurion who had great faith. Next group is the one who had no faith. Verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him. And a large crowd, note that word, a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, he behold, the dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd, note that word, please, from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him, he said, Young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all. They glorified God and saying, a great prophet has risen up among us. God has visited him. And this report about him went throughout all the Judea and their surrounding region. Stop there again. About 25 miles south of Capernaum, southwest, there is a little dot over there north of the Sea of Galilee. From there to down here is a city of... Another person stood on the edge of death, a widow. She had been there before to watch the death that consumed her husband. But now she is back at this time with her only son. She watched him slipping over the edge, down to the depth. With him, her last hope, tattered hope. It was the day of his funeral when she crossed the path. See, we see the direct contrast here in this portion of the scripture. The people who were following Jesus without realizing, they were following the author of life. The other group of people were following this young man's funeral procession, were following the death, which brings the end of the life. The life and death, in this stark contrast, Jesus had a compassion for the mother who not only lost her husband and now the son, only son, but also the hope to her, the life. Can you imagine? The Word of Faith movement teachers will say, you must have a faith in faith to have God to do miracle, incredible miracle for you. You know, in my opinion, raising the dead person from the death would be on the top of that incredible list, wouldn't you say? Guess what? There was not a single person in that large crowd who had a faith in Jesus Christ, nor did they even request Jesus to raise this person from the dead. In other words, none of them had a faith in Jesus Christ, but Jesus had a compassion on. Compassion has been defined as your pain in my heart. Your pain. Jesus' heart was aching for this hardened mother, woman, who lost hope and was too numb to. Out of the depth of his mercy, he produced incredible miracle, raising her dead son to life. Can you imagine this funeral procession? Sad and depressed funeral session turned into wild laughing, rejoicing, and literally awestruck people. Even the funeral director was rejoicing. He's thinking, okay, someday he's going to die again. I can do a double dipping. Okay, that's a corny joke. Never mind. You see, Jesus sees beyond physical. He has the power to resuscitate. This is not a resurrection, okay? This is a resuscitation to death, to reunite body and spirit. And that is our ultimate hope, isn't it? Not just a resuscitation, but resurrection. Someday, trumpet call of God will be sound. Someday, dead in Christ will be raised. And Christ will have done what we were helpless to do on our own, taking us to it. Someday, we will hear that loud, longing trumpet call known as rapture call. Those who are born again Christians will go up to heaven. That's not the second coming of Jesus. And from then on, 7 years known as hell on full resistance, as a matter of fact, full persecution against Christians, anyone who are in Christ. Jesus gave a hope of God to the mother who had no faith. Alright, this time we're gonna look at person who once had a faith. Verse 18. Then the disciples of John, that's John the Baptist, reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? When the man who had come to him, they said, John the Baptist had sent us to you, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that blind see and the lame walk, and the lepers cleanse, and deaf hear, and the dead are. The poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitude concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in a soft garment? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appeared and lived in the luxury and are in king's court. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. For I say to you, among those born of a woman, there is not one greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Verse 29. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collector justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God themselves, not having been baptized. Could this be the same man who just a few months earlier had uttered his announcement about the Son of God? Go to John chapter 1, please. Turn to one book to your right, John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of... And note that, sin of the world, there's an exclamation point. Somewhere along the line, John the Baptist's exclamation point started to crawl up and became a question mark. And asking him a question, are you the coming one, or do we look for another one with a question mark? What happened to him? What happened to his heart? John the Baptist have known the doubt. Hunger, yes, many times. Loneliness, often. But doubt, never. Only raw conviction, ruthless pronouncement, and rugged truth. It was black and white to him. Such was John the Baptist. Conviction was as fierce as a desert sun, in case you haven't noticed. Until now, his courage started to shake as his prison time got longer. As he faced his imminent death, he didn't raise a fist of victory, but rather, John was reasoning with himself. Jesus could do all these miracles, raise the dead and lame walk, and deaf hear, blind see. Couldn't he not spring me out of this misery? And you may say, well, too bad he doesn't have a faith. Put yourself in that. Let me put it in this way. Usually, those people are chained to the stock or chained against the wall. Guess what? If you have to go pee-pee, you cannot say, pee-pee time, or it's a meal time. In other words, you're pretty much stuck there. No pun intended. There was practically in miserable condition. Nowadays, the prison inmates and jail inmates complain for anything and everything. They didn't have a right at that time. In that miserable condition, it's easy to doubt God. In your miserable condition, when the answer was not heard, when the answer is not coming from heaven, it's easy for us to doubt. And your hope seems dashed away. If you have an illness, and prolonged illness, I have a diabetes, type 2. You know how that goes. You fight with the nose. One day I have my weakness is not candy bar. My weakness is potato chip. And I have a pasta, big bowl of pasta to wash down blood. And I check my number. I expect a high number and it comes out decent. And then I eat a really good meal, protein and less carb, and number comes out to be 170. I asked the Lord, I know you healed other people through my prayer. Can't you not heal me? Would you not heal me? And he doesn't. Sometimes pastors or Bible teachers, he allow them to go through what other people, so that we can, is it easy? No. But when I say, when discouragement has led us to believe that Jesus isn't really who we thought he was, we need to clear our eyes and look to God's word to see who. You cannot go by your heart, because our conscience can be seared. You cannot trust your conscience, but your book, the Bible, can be trusted. In John's defense, Jesus declared that John was the greatest of all the prophets. Now that is quite an achievement. But Jesus added a wild statement in verse 28. How can we who are born again Christians be greater than John the Baptist? We are just mere Christians, right? This man is John the Baptist. Come on. See, all the Old Testament prophets had to repeat what God told them to repeat. Those who are born again Christians have God, Holy Spirit, residing in our heart. That's why we are greater than John the Baptist. Not because of ourselves. Are you with me? We are just a miserable sinner without God. Jesus gave hope of God to the John the Baptist who once had. And then what happened? You guys know the story. Herod the king beheaded him. And he said, it doesn't sound so good. Well, he went to heaven, so what's the problem? Right? For us to depart from this earth is in the presence of God. You cannot beat that option. All right, this time, no hope for the ones who reject Jesus. In verse 31, right? And the Lord said, to what then shall I liken the men of this generation? What are they like? They are like a children sitting at the marketplace calling to one another, saying, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep. For the John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, the glutton and the wine bibber, and friend of tax collectors and sinners. But the wisdom is justified all her. Jesus compared the generation of people who are childish, not childlike, and nothing pleasing. People who want to avoid the truth about themselves can always find something to criticize in the preacher's sermon. This is one way to justify their sin and themselves. Some people who come to our church don't like what I teach. The raw word of God without compromise. They say, his Swedish accent is too hard to understand. I'm from southern Sweden. Or, he's not humorous like some other pastors. Or, I don't like his teaching style, especially the using Bible so much. You know what? If they choose to listen to me and my teaching, Holy Spirit will give an interpretation of tongue, I guess. You can understand everything what God is speaking. I had one guy who told me, your teaching convicts me too much, so I don't want to come here. Adios. You can hear, you can find someone who will always. You know what they say? On the way to hell, with the paved, with the good. That person may be able to run away from the truth. He cannot hide from. Listen, hope is not what we expect. It is what we would never dream. It is wild, improbable tale with a pinch me, I am dreaming ending. It's Abraham adjusting his bifocal, trying to see not his grandson, but his own son at his old age, like 100 years old, his wife 90 years old. It is Moses standing in the promised land, now with Miriam and Aaron on his side, at his side, but rather with Elijah and the transfigured Jesus on Mount. Moses thought he would never be able to go enter into. It is two disciples on the way to Emmaus, reaching out to take the piece of bread, only to see the hand from which it is offered. How would you like to take the bread and then you see the scarred? And then their eyes will sing, that is hope. God gives hope to those who trust in Him in spite of situation and circumstance. We take our eyes off what we see and focus on the immortal, invisible, the only wise God. He's unchanged. He never fails. Say with me, God never fails. Say with me again. God never fails. When we think that my hope is God changing my circumstance right away so I can get out of this difficult time, and God says, no, I'm not changing the circumstance, but I'm changing your heart so you can endure, so that you can be mature. And we are saying, that's not what I have in mind. And God said, I don't care what you have in mind. I want you to grow and be like my son, then be childish. Remember, don't be childish, but be childlike. Have a childlike faith. God, Jesus can give hope of God to anyone who even rejected Jesus in the past. If he or she only trusts in. Three applications to go. Number one, we need to share our eternal hope in God with those who are going through a dark tunnel. Share Jesus with them in love, not in preaching, but with your testimony. Tell them what God has done for you in your life. Help them physically. But if you're living like an unbeliever, doing all the bad things, please don't give your testimony. Your testimony going against your life. Your testimony must be backed by your life. Second application. Doubting may temporarily disturb us, but it doesn't have to destroy our relationship permanently. Third, here is again. Being childlike is commendable. Jesus said, trust me, we trust. That's a childlike faith. But being childish is unacceptable. Well, you know what is childish is? You stand at the grocery checkout line and the little kids, mommy, 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 demanding his way. Hey guys, listen up. If you demand your way, two things will happen. Either God will prolong your trial, or he will let you have what you want. That is the worst, getting what you want. Because a disaster will come after that. How do I know? Been there, done that, bought the shirt. I regretted it.